Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Time Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. Today is February the 1st, 2024, or the 4th day of Adar, 2028. We will start a service on this Sabbath. Part 3, I guess. We're on page 35, track 2. And the name of the last church, page 35, it says, just as the name Philadelphia, there's only one church organization, and only one of the church, so the name Later Sin can logically fit only one of the church and only one denomination. The word itself is derived from the Greek word legō dikaia, meaning declaring judgment. After the event of the Philadelphian church, there must therefore be a church declaring judgment. And it is a historical fact that 1844 A.D., the very year that the Millerite movement came until the end of the appointed course, a new movement, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, arose proclaiming, "Fear Yahweh and give glory unto Him, for the hour of His judgment is come." Revelation 14:7. In spite of the unenviable record of the Later Sin Church, the founder of its movement, unlike the founders of the other movements, honestly states in testimony, Volume 3, page 352, the message to the Church of the Later Sin is a startling denunciation and is applicable unto the people of Yahweh at the present time. The Seventh-day Adventists declaring the judgment as well as being in the undone condition describes the SDA Church as the only one which can rightly be called the Later Sin, declaring judgment. What an absolute mess between description and condition. Go magnify the Yahshua with me, and let us exalt His name, Yahshua, together, for He hath magnified His word above all His name. Psalm 34:3, 138:2. Since both the Third Church and the Philadelphian Church have been identified as representing the Millerite movement, and also since the Later Sin Church has been identified as representing the Seventh-day Adventist movement, then it incontrovertibly follows that the Fourth Church, the last of the Church, is symbolical of the SDA Church, the Later Sin. Now, if this application of the Church is wrong, the simple and positive proof is that it cannot be made congruously to fit the SDA Church, but if it is right, then by the same token it cannot be made congruously to fit any other but the Adventist Church, for the divine symbols are devised perfectly for the fitting only of the one object, for the final test Therefore, of the interpretation herein given is the conclusiveness of the paradoxical part of the symbolism, the grizzle and the bay, double leadership. And in the fourth chariot, were a grizzle and bay horses, the anomalous a part of this symbolic prophecy is manifestly that the fourth chariot, unlike the other three, has a double span of horses. But the most arresting about the whole symbolism is a paradoxical fact that the grizzle went toward the south country and the bay went forth and walked to and fro through the earth. Earth and prophecy of the United States, Zechariah 6, 6 and 7. For the grizzle go one way and the bay another way, and yet both are pulling the same chariot. Obviously, therefore, this strange circumstance must hold a simpler present truth, lesson of the great importance for the Church of Yahweh at the present hour, when the vision has been opened and the truth unfolded in the time which the Church is confronted with a strange and perplexing problem which the human reason is at a loss to solve. For the dissimilar teams hitched to the fourth chariot, each pulling in a different direction from the other, shows not only that there is a double leadership in the literacy and church, but also that the one is opposed to the other in character as well as in purpose. This condition, being a strange one, the wise are well considered, seeing that the word of Yahweh has spoken it, and that the symbolism perfectly describes the contest which before their very eyes is taking place. They will tenaciously take a hold of the truth. And now for the importance of the climatic and enigmatic part of the symbolization, we must go to the past and present record of the Laodicean church, as the message unto every church is addressed to the angel who has charge of the candlestick, the church, Revelation 1:20. For the John was instructed, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean, right, Revelation 3:14. But this angel cannot be a heavenly angel, for he is at fault. And now keep in mind, there can only be one angel to each candlestick. As I've taught before, that Ellen G. White was the first angel of the candlestick of Laodicea. But Ellen G. White was not spewed out, so she could not have been the angel of the candlestick. The only one of the four leaders for the Adventist Church that was spewed out was Brother Johnson at Kermit, Texas, 2002. He was the last angel to the candlestick of Laodicea. So he was the lone angel to the candlestick. But this angel cannot be a heavenly angel. He's talking about Brother Johnson. At Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center, 1970, 2003. For he defaulted on his ministry, and he backslid. For he is at fault, neither cold nor hot, but wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and knowest not. Revelation 3:16-17. What else could this angel be but the earthly one who is given charge over the candlestick? Plainly therefore, he and the servant whom his master hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in the due season, Matthew 24:45, are identical, both of whom clearly represent the church leadership, not the membership. Anyone having a reasonable knowledge of the scriptures should know that Yahweh cannot finish his work on the earth to the United States with a wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked leadership. And what is worse, one that does not even know its condition. Now, those who are excusing the overwhelming wickedness everywhere are not the Yahweh's true people, for they are the terrors, the seed of the evil one. For the message Yahweh sends through his servant, says the spirit of the prophecy, will be scorned and derided by the unfaithful shepherds who tread down with their feet the feed of the pastures, given the flock as a food that which they have defiled. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Yahshua, Review and Herald, June 25, 1901, by Ellen G. White. It says, in view of the sad fact that we must have a second leadership for the finishing of his greatest work since the world began. So who do you think this leadership is? It's the bay horses of the two, the grizzle and the bay. Who represents his grizzle and bay horses? They're the greatest leadership in the end time. Of the second set of servants, we read, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living Yahweh, and he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their foreheads. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Yahweh. Revelation 7:23-14:5. Thus by the testimony and by symbol, the word of Yahweh brings to you two dissimilar classes of servants, the one lukewarm, the other without fault. So important is this subject that the spirit of prophecy turned the light on still another aspect of it. But the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace. Yahweh will have a people, pure and true, those who have trusted to the intellect, genius, or talent will not then stand at the head of the rank and file. Testimony of Volume 5, page 80. For the fact that our conferences grant the ministerial licenses only to the college graduates shows that they are trusting to the human wisdom which Albert can no more use now than he could when Moses displayed it, and the fact that they have been following in this foolish course for years is another unimpeachable evidence in the proof that the ministry at the present time is comprised of the men whom Yahweh cannot use, not only because they are independent of him, but also because against his will they have kept out of the work those whom he can use. Now I want to say that Yahweh has not put any kingly power in our ranks. To control this or that branch of the work. The work has been greatly restricted by the efforts to control it in every line. Here is a vineyard, presenting its barren places that have received no labor. And if one should start out to tell these places in the name of the Yahshua, or Yahweh, the Father, unless he should get the permission of the men in a little circle of authority, he would receive no help, for the Yahweh means that his workers shall have help therefrom. The hundred should start out on a mission to destitute fear, crying unto the Yahweh. He would open the way before them. Let me tell you, if your heart is in the work and you have faith in the Yahweh, you need not depend upon the sanction of any minister or any people. If you go right to work in the name of the Yahweh in an humble way during which you can to teach the truth, Yahweh will vindicate you. By an impediment here and an impediment there, and on the other side an impediment, it would have gone forward in its majesty. It would have gone in a weakness at first, but the Yahweh of the heaven lives. The Year in Herald, April 16, 1901. I'm going to go get my charge card, my charge cord, and have this thing charging while I'm talking on it, because it's down the chest having it. Okay? Hold on a minute there. Now I tell Paul has forsaken all trust in the human wisdom, counting it loss for the Yahshua. But Yahweh able to exalt him in his mighty hand. And now, brethren, says the great apostle, come not with the ecstasy of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of the Yahweh, 1 Corinthians 2:1. But
Are you still working on your...
Like the what?
Okay, I read the nurse.
The Honorable Paul, the great men in the church today are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and you cannot use them.
Okay, you're
going to
have to pause for a minute.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
What do you want?
I've got a nursing here, so
I'll
call you back.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
For the call to this great and solemn work was since 1844 presented unto men of the learning and position. Had these been little in their own eyes and trusted fully and the Yahweh, he would have honored them with bearing his standard in the triumph to the victory. But they separated from Yahweh, yielded to the influence of the world, and Yahweh rejected them. Testimony in Bible 5, page 82. But Yahweh has a faithful servant who in his shaking testing time will be disclosed to view. There are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you. But it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior that the pure brightness of his genuine Christian character will be revealed. Testimony of Volume 5, page 80-81. Thus in their perfect mutual harmony, the Bible and the Spirit of the prophecy once again exalt each other and clear the paradox of the fourth chariot, its double span of horses, each of which has revealed their colors and aims as inimical in their character, principle, and objective, each contesting the right to the chariot, endeavoring to keep it in the south country, Egypt, where they are blindly settled on their leads. The grizzle, the leadership at the very head of the church, say in their heart, the Lord will, Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty, and their houses of desolation. Zephaniah 1, 12 and 13. Whereas the baby, the leadership behind the grizzled seek to go to and fro through the earth. For the former say, he is too merciful to visit his people in the judgment, rather fulfilling Ezekiel 9 upon them, while the latter sigh and cry for the abomination in the midst of. Thus, whereas behind the grizzle and horses there is a crying of the Yahweh's visitation, there is a head of the bay, a crying of the peace and safety from men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet to show Yahweh's people their transgression and the house of the Jacob their sin. These dumb dogs that would not bark, said the founder of the church, are the ones who fear the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony of Volume 5, page 211. While on the one hand, therefore, the prophetical the prophetic thing, behold the failure of the grizzled horses for the maintaining control of the chariot, the church, because of the dereliction of the duty. On the other hand, we see the bay horses both prophetically and actually getting ready to take over the chariot at the appointed time, or as the angel speaking in the prophetic past explained, they sought to go that they might go walk to and fro through the earth. Zechariah 6:7. It says, although these servants of Yahweh, who are to be disposed of you during the purification of the church, have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon the others, yet it is stated of them, for the most weak and hesitating in the church will be as a David, willing to do and dare, then will the church of Yahshua appear fair as the moon, fair as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. Testimony, Volume 5, 81 and 2, Prophecy and Kings, 7:25. Where else in all Christendom, save in the SDA denomination, as the Church of the Latter Saints, is to be found the fulfillment of the prophetic church history unfolded in this study? If this startling revelation of the present truth, plain and certain, as the conflict itself between good and evil, does not reach the Latter Saints heart, then nothing can ever reach it. Oh, brother, sister, be not fooled if this does not reach your heart now in time to save you from the evil to come. It will surely overtake you eventually, and then only to destroy, not to save you. So stay no longer with the grizzled horses in Egypt. For to do so will be only to perish with them, while the bay, a team of horses, take the chariot. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has now become the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven and on earth, Daniel 2:44 and 45, to the promised land.